Welcome to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson-Nulz, founder of Authentic Health Coaching. We want to thank you for subscribing to the show. So we have an amazing free gift for you with Dr. Corson's Top 5 Nutrition Tips. It is the number one guide taking your health to the next level. You can get your free copy at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Now today on the show we have a really, really cool guest for you, David Norrington. And David is an expert in getting rid of phobias in a really fast, really effective, really, really safe way. And he can cure most phobias most of the time in about less than an hour. Sometimes it might take 2 hours or three at the tops. But he's really, really effective at curing phobias. And we actually did a little experiment with my friend Lori. And you'll hear from her on the show as well today. And she had a really, really, really bad phobia of water. And in just one session with David, she was able to overcome that fear and go have a great adventure in Hawaii for several weeks and go swimming and go cliff diving and go surfing and just have a lot of fun in the water while she was there. So it was a really, really cool experience for her. And I know if you've ever suffered with a phobia or if you know anyone who has, that can be really, really debilitating. And so David's just really making a huge difference in people's lives by, you know, giving them a really quick, easy, effective way to get rid of their phobias. So, you know, please share this show with anyone you know who has a phobia, because it's going to make a huge difference in their lives. So enjoy the show today and make it an incredible day. Take care. Well, David, thanks so much for being with us today on the Authentic Health Coaching Show. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about you and your background and the work that you do?
Okay, I've just recently started up Rapid Phobia Cure. I'm a performance coach, and I used to have a couple of fears and phobias of my own, which was heights and water. And using some of the techniques that I now use, which were used with me, I lost my fear of heights, and then I applied the same principles to my fear of water, and that went. And as a result of losing both of them, I then went into a career where I was helping young people, so 16 to 19 year olds, hadn't done very well at school, and they were looking for the local authority that I was working for wanted to set up a program that would help young people who'd not done well at school, and school hadn't done well for them, and I put together a sports package, which was part of the program that I was responsible for. And because I'd just recently lost my fear of water, I put together a whole program which included lots of water-based activities, so power boating, jet skiing, swimming, lifeguarding, almost you name it. If it had water in it, it was part of the program. And there's just no way I would have done that prior to having lost the phobia that I had. And I've just kind of come to the conclusion that this is something that is just really useful for people to be able to get over. And it's so simple, it's so quick, and it's so effective. Normally, fear or phobia can be dealt with in under an hour, and it's gone then for life. So I just love helping people, and this has to be one of the most life-changing ways that you can help people. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got into doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's awesome. And I think you're right. I mean, it is a way that you can really help people make a huge difference in their quality of life, because, you know, if someone has a phobia, it can really affect every area of their life, their self-confidence, their self-esteem, how they feel about themselves, and can really limit the choices as to what they can do with their lives.
And also the people around them. I've been working with people who've got very, very understanding partners and boyfriends and girlfriends and family members, because the phobia can have a knock-on effect. So if someone's got a fear of moths, then someone else has to clear the room and make sure there's no moths in the room. It's an unnecessary thing which is affecting other people. Mm-hmm. But it's so real to the person who has the phobia. That's the thing. Society laughs at people who have phobias, but it's so real. And often, the person knows that it's irrational. They know that something's going on in their head that is just meaning that, what makes this insect different to that insect, and this insect freaks me out, but that one doesn't. The way that we deal with phobias it to one side, they try and avoid it, so they'll, walk the other side of the street. If there's something that they just do not or cannot face on their side of the street, they'll cross the road rather than just walk past it or face it or get someone to help them to just not fear that thing in the first place. Mm-hmm. There's so many phobias. Look on some of the phobia list, there's in excess of 500 named phobias, and that's without the ones that don't have names for. So they can be triggered by really trivial events. I know in my case, there were two events, childhood events, that led rise to the fear of heights and the fear of water. And really, in themselves, they were not that dramatic, but to my child brain, they were very dramatic. And all my brain did was trigger in, say, okay, that's bad. Anything that looks like that, stay away from it. It'll do you harm. And that's basically how a phobia is formed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, I thought instead of, just explaining, for an hour or so about how the whole process works and, how you get rid of phobias, I thought it'd be really cool that we talked about before the interview so that my audience knows that, maybe you could try it on a friend of mine who has a phobia and see, what kind of results you could get. And so I know you worked with my friend Lori for about an hour, and she had a phobia of water and pretty much cleared up the phobia in that hour-long session. And so now we're going to go to the audio of the interview with you and Lori so the audience can hear, more about, her experience and how that worked.
Right. So, Lori, we've had a session, which was quite lengthy. The problem that you said that you had was a phobia of water. Perhaps you could just explain a little bit about what the situation was like, just sort of how things were for you at that time, without going into sort of what we've done about it just yet. So, over to you.
So before we were, the phobia, I was really uncomfortable putting my head underwater, and also breathing underwater. I was pretty freaked out to do that, even though I would love to be around the water and wanted to play in the water, but that was kind of holding back, was not knowing that I wouldn't freak out, like, being in the water and having my head underneath the water.
What was it like even thinking about it, even thinking about having your face in the water or being completely immersed in water? How would you experience that?
I would experience that as almost like a choking. Like, it felt like I was already in trouble. Like, it was just in the anticipation of something actually happening.
Did that manifest itself physically? Do you have any sort of physical symptoms? Either thinking about being immersed in the water or actually being in that circumstance?
Physically, I would feel like I was already kind of in trouble and choking when I thought about it.
You know, I use the scale of 0 to 10. Where were you on the 0 to 10 scale, 0 being no stress whatsoever and 10 being this is just too much?
I guess when I was really thinking about it and really anticipating it and almost about to do something that would have me in that situation, I think it could go up to a 9 or maybe even a 10 sometimes. I'd be able to calm myself down a little bit, maybe like a 7 or an 8, but it was still there, and it would get a little more comfortable once I was in the water and feeling somewhat, in a safe place with it. Or if I were, then it would calm down a little bit, but mostly if I were thinking about it or if just watching the waves and anticipating going in there and standing by the water edge. it'd be pretty high up there.
Okay, so we've had a pretty lengthy session, and you can go into as much detail on this as you like, as little or as much as you want, but can you describe what we did together?
Well, the session that we did, we traced back to a time where I was feeling uncomfortable in the water, where it was actually happening, and then through changing the circumstances of that incident, or changing the story around it, coming to a place where that was no longer happening. So completely changing the story around in my mind.
Before you even got into that, were you aware of what was kind of the root cause of your problem?
Yes, I had kind of an intuition, or that it was something that happened either during birth or pre-birth, because when I was a baby, I already had with being in the tub, I would scream my head off. So by that, I just kind of knew or intuit that it was before that.
Can we talk just a little bit about how you found the process of what we talked about, which, as I said, it was quite in depth, but
how did you feel going through it? Well, it was lengthy, and it was at times a bit uncomfortable, going back to the situation, and it's almost reliving it in your head, and that's uncomfortable, but then adding things as we added in different circumstances, it became lighter and lighter, and I started to feel better about it. So all in all, I think that it was uncomfortable, but the results are good.
Okay, and so say the results are good. How do you feel the results?
Well, I've just been on holiday in Hawaii, and I was able to do many things that I was scared of thinking about doing. I knew I wanted to do them, but I was hesitant. Like, I would feel that feeling, that physical feeling, when I even thought about how it would go or could go. And but once I was there, I was in the situation. I, through the techniques as well, was able to safely have fun with them and enjoy it. Of course, there's still some mechanical things, being that I haven't spent lengthy amounts of time in the water, but I was able to play in the water, a little bit of snorkeling, my first surf lesson, and I should say that was my first surf lesson that went well, that I felt comfortable with, and I have tried it before with not very good results, and stand-up paddleboarding, and also, a small cliff dive into a pool of water.
What were your previous experiences then with the surfing, and how was it different this time?
I'm a big believer of just going and doing what you're afraid of, and sometimes that works out well for me, and sometimes that doesn't. So I I had an ex-boyfriend who was very much into surfing, and so I decided, you know, I would let him teach me, and it was kind of the let go of the bicycle type of training with that, just let go and let it happen, just get on the surfboard and being pushed into the wave. So that just ended up really freaking me out, and ended up kind of looking like a freaked out cat in the water. So that's how that ended up. So not very well for the water phobia or for the relationship.
So where are you now in terms of if you're thinking about, let's say I asked you to think about taking swimming lessons, where you're in the pool for an hour and you're going to have your head underwater and you'll be fully immersed in the pool. Where are you on the 10 level of anxiety about even thinking about that?
I would be open to that. I would like to get more comfortable in the water and learn the mechanics of it. I also feel like, from our conversation too, that may be what's holding me back, is just getting it into my physical body that it's safe and it can do these things.
Great. It's kind of over to you now, I think, to find yourself a swimming teacher that you can get on with and just book yourself some lessons and learn how to breathe underwater and how to be in the water and move through it without, you know, struggling to actually be able to get air in your lungs. So I think if you can just get someone who's a good teacher, who's patient with you and is, you know, understanding that you've had problems in the past, and to just go easy with you, I think you're going to get great results. And I think also you're going to enjoy swimming, and you're going to enjoy, you know, just being around the water and doing a whole variety of water activities. So,
yeah, I think. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you feel about even thinking about that and just, you know, going and getting some lessons?
I think it's exciting.
Good. So what was, in terms of when you were actually there, what was on the 0 to 10 scale, what was the worst you felt, and how long did you feel it for, and kind of what, how did you handle it when it was at its worst?
I think of the times that I actually went in the water, that it was the worst was when I had the surfboard strapped to my ankle and I was starting to go into the water, and at this point I was doing this by myself. I was just, Wanda had told me to just float on it, just get on the, go through and, you know, float on it. And I was a little intimidated because it kept pushing the board back to me, and I was just kind of thinking, oh my gosh, like, not only do I, you know, have myself, but I have this board attached to me. How is this going to work?
Just after sort of, you know, on the scale of 0 to 10, what was the worst it got, and how long did that last for? And were you able to do something about it for yourself without having to, you know, make a cell phone call from the ocean to me?
I would say the worst that it got was about an 8, and that was actually when I was considering jumping off a cliff that probably was not safe for me to do, given the swells of the ocean and the length of the swim back to the beach. So that was probably a healthy fear right there.
Right.
But the times that I did get in the ocean, that were reasonable, I would say maybe a 6. And then using the technique of that we did, I was able to just get it down to maybe a 4 or a 3, where I was just able to be like, aha, that's silly.
All right, great, David. Now tell us a little bit more about, you know, what you did with Lori and why this is so effective. I mean, obviously, you know, hearing what she just said, you know, she's feeling so much better now. She had her trip in Hawaii and she went, you know, diving off a cliff into the water. I mean, that's not something that someone with a phobia of water does. They don't just dive off a cliff into water, right?
No, absolutely. I can particularly relate to Lori because she had the same phobia as me. But her experiences are just typical of the people that I've worked with, regardless of, you know, whether it's a phobia of clowns or medical emergencies or even, you know, fear of the dark, spiders. It doesn't matter. So without going into the specifics of what Laurie was experiencing, because, you know, that's private to her, the pattern is the same of a childhood experience. It's generally a childhood experience, but it can be an adult experience as well. And then our brain is just processing the things around it, and the experience and the feelings and what it's seeing, hearing, and making a global decision that this is bad, we can't tolerate this. And sometimes that will then transfer on to other things which are similar to. And all it is the brain trying to protect us, our primitive brain that you know, when we fell out of the trees and started finding snakes for the first time, we didn't know what to do with a snake. And some people, you know, maybe got bit by snakes and killed by them, and then that was enough for our primitive brain to then, right, stay away from snakes or spiders or whatever it might be. But actually, the vast majority of these species are completely harmless. So what we do is we go back to the experience, look at it through older, more experienced eyes, and relearn what happened and code it in a different way so that our brains are able to process the information that we had at that time with the knowledge and information that we have now as older, more mature, more experienced people. So we're able to rationally get our brains to process that memory differently. So we can do that way. We can also replace the stimulus with something that is ridiculous, or it's funny, or it's harmless in a way that makes sense to the individual, and this will be different for everybody. So, you know, we might attach some comical music to it, or we might make it run faster and slower and diminish the intensity of it through whatever means that helps the person make the feelings less intense. So it's really, really easy to knock down from, you know, people who are experiencing fear at an 8, 9, 10 level on a scale of 0 to 10 to get that down to 1, 2, 3, so in some cases just it's down to a 0. So, you know, there's absolutely no problem even thinking about this thing because the brain has been able to say, okay, now I understand what was wrong at that time, how I was learning it. It was wrong, it was bad for me, but now I know how to look forward and be able to experience those things and have absolutely zero fear. And phobia is just a word that gets attached to a fear that's gone out of control, and that's all it is. It's, you know, some people don't even accept that they have a phobia, but they'll say, I'm afraid of the dark, or they'll say, I'm afraid of X or Y or whatever it might be. And actually, it's a phobia, but it doesn't really matter what you call it. It's the effect that matters. So while some people might have a phobia that doesn't affect their lives because they don't encounter that thing regularly, there's no need for treatment. But if encountering the thing that is phobic is actually affecting your life, then treatment is not only available, but it works. I think I'm off on one of my rambles again.
No, that's great. Well, and I think you just want to clarify for people, is this something that they can do you know, by themselves at home, or is it something that they really need a trained coach to do?
Well, there's a load of different ways in which you can cure a phobia. And I'm not about to sit here and say that my what I do is the only way, and I'm not about to say that it works 100% of the time, because it doesn't and it isn't. What I feel is that the way that I work is probably least intrusive. I mean, we heard that Laurie was experiencing, while we were talking, she's experiencing some discomfort, but the session didn't last that long, and the result was she's much better around water. There are some methods like desensitization where the process is prolonged exposure over a period of time, so you expose to whatever the phobic thing is for a little bit, and then a little bit longer, and then longer and longer and longer until you're no longer phobic around it. But I feel, why go through that? Or why have a year's worth of psychotherapy with not only the time but the expense that's attached to that, when you can actually do something about it normally in under an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 sessions tops, but you can actually reduce that fear and anxiety from a 10 down to a 0, a 1, or a 2.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's, I agree totally with that, and that's why I really like your method and, what you do with neuro-linguistic programming and how you make it so simple and fast and effective, because, there are so many people who are paying, for psychotherapy for years and years and years and never seem to get over these phobias, and, to have a method that works so fast, so effectively, so safely, it's really, really impressive, and I love that you just kind of cut to the chase and get at, what's not working about this and how do we change that, versus the approach of, let's talk about, everything that happened in the past and, go over it and debate it for hours and hours and years and never really see any solid changes. And I really like your approach because of that.
I think one of the problems is that the talking therapies can be a little bit, a bit too, let's talk about it. And when actually what you need to do is you need to pattern interrupt. If someone has a pattern of thought that is not working, then you have to interrupt it. You have to cut it short. So there are occasions when Laurie, and she's certainly not exceptional in this, in terms of almost everybody that I deal with, they will start talking about a memory, they'll start talking about a thing, and I will cut them short, because you don't want to keep repeating the same thing that's been going wrong. And sometimes that can actually help people to kind of jolt them out of, okay, so there is actually another way of thinking. Now, this isn't the only way to be. This isn't the only way that my brain can function. And sometimes it takes a third party to just sort of, hang on, stop. Let's do it this way. Let's think about it this way. And that's enough to take someone away from the thoughts that are actually destructive and harmful to actually thoughts which are protective and beneficial. I'm just a fan of NLP, but it's not just using NLP. I've had success using a bit of a hybrid of NLP and timeline therapy, which is another technique again, and and I've had some success doing. I think I'm doing something that's just a little bit different, but just doing fast phobia. Which is an NLP technique, just doing timeline, desensitization, counselling, there are a whole batch of things that will cure people's phobias, and I'm just passionate about why live with a phobia, and I don't care how people get over their phobia. If it takes a year of counselling, if that's what you want to do, and you want to spend the money and you want to spend the time and you're quite happy, but you come out without a phobia, then more power to you, because you're going to have more confidence. Some of the other aspects of life. I'd just like to see everybody understanding that phobias don't have to be for life. Mm. That just because you got it doesn't mean you have to hang on to it is an answer out there. Well, there's more than one answer out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And why don't you share with us a little bit more about where our listeners can learn more about you and the work that you do and work with you if they have a phobia.
Okay, well, I've actually put together a couple of sites. One site is it's about me. You get to see a brief introduction to me and see if you want to deal directly with me, then it's just about me, which is rapidphobiacure.com. I've also put together another site which talks about and compares and will send you, you know, in the direction of any number of other different methods that claim and have some proof and you know, they say that they can do the same thing and deal with your phobias as well, which is rapidphobiacuresflora.com. So I put these two sites together because I want, yes, I'd like to help people directly, but as I said, bottom line is I'd just like as many people to benefit from this as possible, to live a life without that fear or phobia. Because as someone who's been through it and come out the other side, it's just so life-changing that, you know, that anybody who has a phobia, you know, I've seen stats that say that, you know, 12% of the population has a phobia. You know, that's millions of people around the world who could be not having that crippling fear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, David. I know it's just made a huge difference in Lori's life, and so we're so grateful for, you know, the work that you did with her and you know, the work that you're doing with thousands of people all over the world. So thank you so much again for sharing today.
My pleasure.